You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're in Sacramento and your morning commute seemed a little busier than it has been in a while, it may be partly because school is back in session. Tens of thousands of students across Sacramento County are back in class today. And for many, it's going to feel a little more like normal this time as COVID protocols have been eased and mask mandates have changed, while others are still struggling with what normal really is, as students of all ages continue to experience ongoing mental health challenges. We're going to dive into what you need to know across the county. Joining us with their reporting is Cap Radio's K-12 education reporter, Srishti Prabha, who has compiled a back-to-school FAQ with general information and resources. Welcome to Insight, Srishti.
Thanks for having me, Vicky. Excited to be here.
And we also have Cap Radio's Northern California reporter, Janelle Salonga, also joining us to add more context to some of the health issues and concerns as kids go back to school. Hey, Janelle.
Hey, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
Well, Srishti, starting with you, can you tell us about the process behind compiling the FAQ for back to school? Because within Sacramento County, there are lots of school districts.
Yes, definitely. There were kind of two things that I was looking at when I was making this FAQ. One was connecting Sacramento communities with tangible resources and then addressing health-related concerns parents and students might have in Sacramento County District. So from free meals and transportation to signing up for transitional kindergarten or changes to health guidelines, my FAQ serves as a guide. Interspersed throughout the guide are data points that suggest these resources are really necessary. And my co-reporter, Janelle Salonga, also contributed to the reporting of this story.
Well, Janelle, aside from COVID-19, you're also reporting on how students in Sac City Unified are more food insecure than students across the county at large. What are some of the resources they and other students in the area can access?
Well, all public school districts and charter schools that serve transitional kindergarten through high school, not just in Sacramento County, but in the state, now need to provide a nutritionally adequate breakfast and lunch to any student who requests one. And that's through the Universal School Meals program that the state passed last month. So those free meals are available to anyone, whether or not they're eligible for free or reduced price lunches. And one resource that Srishti included in their guide is also accessible to any family who needs it. The Sacramento Youth Center in Del Paso Heights is launching a meal distribution called Free Family Fridays. And so each meal kit they offer is designed to feed four people, but you can reserve more than one meal kit, and there's no special information required in the sign-up form.
Oh, that's great. And that's great, like, news you can use and actually, like, apply as of today. I mean, the guide, another big component about this when going to school, transportation, that can obviously be just such a huge barrier to getting both healthy meals and getting to school. 40% of Sac City Unified students last year were chronically absent. That increases to 60% for Black students. What kind of transit support exists for students who need reliable transportation?
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely, you know, last year, I know that we saw a lot of delays on bus routes because of staffing shortages. I know that, you know, last year or earlier this year, I want to say last school year, there are a lot of bus drivers who I had talked to about, you know, that kind of struggle to get students to class on time. But, you know, outside of those school buses, there's also Sac Regional Transit. And if getting consistent transportation is a struggle, students can also get a free Sac Regional Transit pass through the Ride Free RT program. And so that's students from transitional kindergarten to high school. And the program covers transportation to schools in Elk Grove Unified, Folsom Cordova, Natomas, Sac City, San Juan, and Twin Rivers Unified School District. And so both youth who are unhoused or foster youth, they can all participate. And anyone who's interested can ask an administrator at their school, a librarian at a county public library location, or they could go to Sac Regional Transit's customer service center at 1225 R Street in Sacramento.
Well, aside from figuring out reliable transit, another obstacle that students and families face is just the adjustment of back to in-person learning. I mean, this is a big curve for a lot of people. Srishti, your guide has a section dedicated to educational resources that can help ease students back into the classroom. So what's available?
Yeah, there are a few types of educational resources available to Sacramentans. There's local organizations with supplies, mentoring, and tutoring. There's online academic support, and there's the newly implemented transitional kindergarten program. This past weekend, there were two backpack drives by Sacramento-based organizations, It's On Us and Voice of Youth. Both provide services for youth outside of just supplies. Namika Okwudili, the founder of It's On Us, recounts a memory to me on her first day of high school when she remembers dropping her notebooks into a puddle of water.
When I was 15, I had my first anxiety/panic attack. And the reason being was because my mom had spent the last of the money that we had to buy me school supplies.
Yeah, Namika told me about how she personally experienced having to grow up in Sacramento without access to the same opportunities as other youth around her. And that's actually why she started It's On Us.
So I thought about all of the things that I needed when I was a child or different resources that I didn't have. The overall goal, like I had mentioned earlier, is to provide temporary to permanent housing for at-risk youth ages, honestly, 6 months up until the age of 18. We will also be providing apprenticeship programs and life skill programs that would allow kids to basically get all of the work skills for different hobbies, whether it's dancing, arts, theater, music, business management, or owning a business, those types of things that aren't necessarily taught in school or you have to have additional money to gain these skills. They'll be provided to the children for free in exchange for an opportunity to grow, to learn, and to find their purpose.
That is wonderful and so important at a time when we've been hearing a lot about learning loss and just the widening of the achievement gap post-online learning. What have you found out about this through your reporting?
Yeah, that's a good question, Vicky. There are several studies that indicate the achievement gap has increased between Black and Hispanic students in relation to their other peers in California. However, even more significantly, learning loss took its toll on all students in the Sacramento region. When I spoke to Sac City Unified Superintendent Jorge Aguilar, he was quite honest about the shocking data they were finding in the district.
We have now received a lot of information from the state from the end of year assessments that took place in the spring. We, of course, are not satisfied with what the effects of COVID have been on the learning of our students. We have about 38% of our students who met the standards in ELA, in language arts, and 27 who met the standards in mathematics. So that is not something that we're proud of. It's something that we are confronting. And so a lot of our professional development is going to focus on making sure that we turn around all of those data points. I have all the faith in the world that our site leaders, our teachers at every one of our school sites in Sac City Unified are committed to turning those data points around. Those are data points that are going to be a big focus for us over the course of this year, over the course of next summer as well. We know that we are going to have to intervene in summer of 2023. We're already starting to think about what would something look like in summer of 2023, because the impact of COVID is going to take some time for us to reverse, and we are committed to doing that.
That is so troubling. 38% of students who met standards in language arts, 27%, that's like a quarter, who met the standards in mathematics. Srishti, I know you have online academic support links in your article that that address specific subjects. What do you want parents to know about those?
Well, each one is very catered to the actual subject. So I would refer them back to the guidelines because there's just so many different things to look at. But yeah, I think it's important that these resources exist online as well, because teachers can't provide all the support and all these outside organizations sometimes can't provide that subject level specificity that's required.
Yeah. And we have studies that actually show the damage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to gather that data from other districts as well, because those state tests, that data from the state test just got released. So I look forward to seeing how we do in the next year, if things improve and what happens.
One solution that's being offered across the state, and it's new, is transitional kindergarten. And that's Governor Newsom passed a bill in 2021 expanding it to encompass all four-year-olds. And previously, it was difficult for all families to be able to access TK. So this is something that parents can access now, correct?
Yes, and I'm very excited about this. A 2017 study done by the American Institute of Research found that students that were actually being given access to transitional kindergarten programs in California were more proficient in letter identification, phonological awareness, quantitative concepts, applied problems. So you can see the reaching benefits of a program like this. And what's kind of concerning to me is that UC Berkeley just released data to suggest that Black families are less likely to enroll in California's TK mm-hmm. program, which puts them at a disadvantage, you know?
Yeah, they get into school later. What does enrollment look like for each district?
Yeah, so enrollment is district by district quite different. You have to go to my FAQ. I'm going to refer you back. Each district has different guidelines on how to apply. But I know that Sac City Unified currently is looking for students and it wants more students. Transitional kindergarten is not only a great way to ensure academic success for your children, it is also access to free childcare during school hours, which I think can be a little added respite for working parents. So I did hear from the SAC spokesperson for Sac City Unified, Brian Heap, and he has a little bit more information.
The Sacramento City Unified School District has expanded our transitional kindergarten program to include more young children who weren't previously eligible. Sac City Unified can now accept students who turn age 5 between September 2nd, 2022 and February 2nd, 2023. Transitional kindergarten is completely free to families with full day and half day programs available at 19 school sites across the district.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and we are talking back to school in Sacramento County with our reporters, Janelle Salonga and Trishti Prabha. Let's move on to some health concerns that parents and students might be thinking about. As the pandemic continues, school district responses to COVID are changing. What can parents expect when it comes to COVID this year, Janelle?
I mean, Vicki, I think the biggest change is just, you know, this larger reliance on at-home testing and, you know, less likelihood of indoor masking requirements being reinstated unless there's a specific county, state, or, you know, federal order that re-implements that requirement. And real quick, speaking of testing, I also wanted to mention that, you know, the free COVID test that you can get through covidtests.gov will no longer be available tomorrow, so September 2nd, just because federal funding wasn't renewed for that program. So you can definitely, if you have time, make sure you go to covidtest.gov and try and place an order to every address should be able to place 3 orders. But back to, you know, schools and what at-home testing will look like, or, you know, what COVID testing will look like there. Districts are saying that the reason there's a bigger shift to that kind of at-home testing is just because it's more easily accessible at pharmacies and, you know, via schools themselves. And so that means that schools are kind of doing away with surveillance testing. So basically this kind of test to stay program, this testing of all students, regardless of whether or not they have symptoms. And so here's Victoria Flores, who's the director of student support and health services at Sac City Unified.
So our care rooms are open during the school day at all schools. So you can drop in if you're symptomatic during the day or you learn of an exposure or you just want to test. It's right there. They will also help get those at-home COVID test kits out to our community. Weekly testing will continue to be provided to our departments located outside of CERNA. We have testing, a regional testing center right next door if you're here at CERNA, but we had times and dates where we would provide that out at our other facilities. We're going to have a weekly testing day provided at our large schools or secondary schools for those high-risk activities that CDC and CDPH talk about. So we'll have that additional day and time for them. And these are activities like band or orchestra or choir where we're exhaling or athletics with a lot of close contact or maybe specific student populations who have high-risk vulnerabilities.
All right. Well, while the California Department of Health is saying the risk of getting monkeypox or mpox in school settings is minimal, Janelle, are school districts preparing?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the short answer, yes and no. So there are no specific protocols in place because the California Department of Public Health hasn't yet develop specific guidance that schools can follow, but the districts remain in, you know, pretty constant contact with county health officials and are asking parents, you know, if you see an unexplained rash on your student and who's also developing a fever, you think they might have monkeypox, just let schools know, because the county is required to track cases of monkeypox. At the same time, districts already tend to have protocols that deal with, students who may have unexplained rashes or fevers, which again are some of the early, most common symptoms of monkeypox. So, you know, they are yes and no.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yep. Yes and no. There's been a lot of yes and no since 2020 for sure. All right, Trishti, a big component of this, mental health. I mean, there has been a rise in mental incidences for youth on average across the country. You also have some narratives in Elk Grove, and you found that to also ring true with students across Sacramento County. Have there been any updates since?
Yeah. A 2020 report by Sacramento County Health Department found that 35% to 50% of students in the county had elevated levels of chronic sadness or hopelessness. And the number was higher for students of color and female identifying students.
Yeah. And that is a high number. We've had Superintendent Gordon with Sacramento County on earlier this year to talk about a new initiative about putting a clinician on every campus. You chatted with him about that, too. Where does that stand now?
Yeah, that's a good point. It seems like the rollout is a little bit slower than I would think. There seems to be, you know, differences in districts again. And then there's a shortage of social workers and mental health clinicians and school psychologists. So when I spoke to him about this, Superintendent Gordon, he was just saying that implementing these mental health protocols was going to be a long-term project.
Mental health is very important, and we've done a lot with our rollout of a clinician to every school. We started with 10 schools and then went to 20 this year. We're going to roll out 20 more, so we'll be at 40 schools. Now there's over 300 schools in the county, so people ask me, well, how can you possibly get to 300, and my answer is the same, one at a time, one school at a time.
Yeah, the number of clinicians to the number of schools in the district is a little alarming to me. And Sac City Unified, for one, has partnered with various community-based orgs to kind of mitigate this. And one organization is Youth Forward. I spoke with Nakia Bell, Youth Development Coordinator and Program Director at the organization, and she kind of told me about the gaps that they're trying to address at three schools.
Just to share with you, several of our youth shared about their struggles with their mental health and how it impacts their education, including stress, anxiety, depression, and other challenges. And it was just heartbreaking but shocking to hear young folk having to endure so much, but it's our reality, especially during this new COVID climate. Our schools play a very important role in fostering and supporting the well-being of our children through adults as teachers, counselors, from the lunch lady that serves the meals to the custodial staff. All staff who serve our youth have a part in this. So we need committed, caring adults showing up for youth, meeting them where they are, building trust and nurturing relationships with students. It's super key to a young person's mental health and overall well-being. So our program, we are going to work hard to provide an intentional, inclusive, authentic, and culturally responsive program for our young folks, especially our youth of color.
Yeah, what Nakia really underscores is how crucial the community is in all of this, in addition to districts. What else can you tell us about community organizations that are really stepping in and addressing the mental health needs of students?
Yeah, I think there are other orgs that are stepping in? And right now I'm doing a lot more research to find out what our district's doing, each district independently, which where are they recruiting from? I know Sierra Health Foundation does a lot. You have My Brother's Keeper. You have For Black Boys and Youth. And I think the other thing to think about is it's not just the community orgs. The parents can step in, too. And for parents, I think there's some things to think about, some things that Nakia told me that I thought were super important were things like checking to see the eating habits of your children, the mood swings, and kind of just regularly checking in. And she also left me with a few more tips that I thought were super, super helpful.
I first would encourage parents to check in with their kids. Young folks appreciate that so much. They feel their parents are just so stressed out and just too busy, and they don't want to be a burden. So oftentimes they try to like make themselves invisible, which I found, again, heartbreaking. I would especially check on students that have transitioned from an elementary to middle school, middle school to high school, and high school to college. We forget that, you know, our students, our young folk were under shutdown. So developmentally speaking, they're a couple years behind and they're feeling stressed. And just if I can share something else, just parent to parent, to know it is okay not to be okay.
Yeah, I think that last statement is just really, really destigmatizing mental health and letting kids feel safe in the space. So I'm currently doing more reporting on mental health since that is something that we know has been on the rise. So look out for a more in-depth article and more information.
That is CAP Radio reporter Srishti Prabha. Thank you so much for the FAQ and all the work you did.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by CAP Radio reporter Janelle Salonga. Janelle, nice seeing you again.
Yep. Nice seeing you too, Vicky. Thanks so much.
And you could read both Janelle and Trishti's reporting at capradio.org. Still ahead, Sacramento's historic Guild Theater will unveil African-American stories and history through cinema in a way that's really never been done before. The inaugural Oak Park Black Film Festival starts next week, and we're going to get a preview. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.